Y'all know what time it is. Y'all don't know, y'all better ask somebody. Hat on, hat on, suit on, suit on, looking like the dapper dawn. Giving a microphone, dress, dress like a million bucks, bucks, things in its cuffs. Mm-hmm. Y'all tell me, who could it be but Steve Harvey? Oh, yeah. Listening to me. Put your hands together for Steve Harvey. Put your hands together.
Everybody, you are listening to The Voice. Come on now, dig me, one and only Steve Harvey. Got a radio show. Thank God for it all the time, too. Well, here we go. Today, since it's this time of the year, I want to share something with you that'll help you, because it's helped me. You know, I was telling a story once that in this magazine called Rob Report, that there was a statue I used to see for years. I started buying Rob Report magazines years ago. So I just wanted to see what affluent people did, you know, just wanted to see what people with means did, what type of investments they did, what they bought, you know, where they traveled to. The Rob Report is just like a big boy toy magazine. You can see what cars is out. You know, I didn't have money for none of it. Just I was dreaming, though, you know, I just wanted to see. And there was a statue inside this magazine of this man who was coming out of this bronze rock, and he was completely bronze, and he was muscular, and, you know, he didn't look nothing like me, but he was a man coming up out of a rock, and he had a huge hammer and a chisel in his hand. And as his body from the waist up was coming out of this huge piece of stone, you could see where it was him who had been chiseling and forming himself. So the name of the statue was Self-Made Man. And for years, man, I said, man, I'm going to get a big house one day and I'm going to put that statue in the backyard in the corner. That's going to be my little spot where I go chill, because I'm a self-made man. Well, after years of working at becoming somebody and having reached a degree of success, I would have nothing to do with that statue. There's nothing about that statue that appeals to me anymore, because on my journey and in my quest to become what I thought would be this self-made man, where I could put this statue and had this statue in the corner be kind of cold, symbolizing it, I had made it. I realized on my journey, there's no such thing as a self-made man, that we all need help, and that God places people in our paths along the way that benefit us oftentimes. And it's the most unlikely person oftentimes. And it's the most unlikely way that he presents these people in front of you. It's crazy how he does it, man. And so this is a statue now that I look at and I go, I see what the creator was saying, and that's cool, but not for me. because I needed help. And I've learned a lot of things like this along the way. And at this part of the year, the part I wanted to share with you all about this is you've got to develop. You've got to develop a sense of purpose. Now, notice what I said. I said you have to develop a sense of purpose. I didn't say you had to go out and figure out a purpose. You have to develop a sense of purpose. That's different. See, your purpose is created for you by God, because when he created you as an individual from whatever two parents you may have, that's not important here. When he created you, he had something in mind for you. Mm-hmm. You follow me now? When he created you, he had something in mind for you. And it was a purpose. God has not created a single soul to become a criminal. God has never created a single soul to be a drug dealer, to become an addict, to become an alcoholic, to become an abuser, a molester, a cheater. He didn't create none of this. This came about through some decisions we made as sinners, and we stayed in that place. But see, when he created us, he has a wonderful idea for us. But God gives us human beings this thing called choice, and we have the power to decide. So you can decide if you're going to adhere to the purpose that God created you and made you for, or you can go ahead and make some choices on your own. So like if God wanted to give you a life and give it come to you and give you life more abundantly, and that's his promise, if you come to him, if you choose him, then cool. But if you say, well, this ain't moving along fast enough, I'm going to get my own life of abundance, I'm going to start slanging, well, guess what now? Ta-da, you've made a decision. And see, God's decisions and choices, the one thing I learned about them from Bishop Kenneth Olmer, God's decisions, choices, his voice, it has no sin in it. Ain't it amazing how many people that came up to you and said, the Lord wanted me to do this to you, and I'm doing it, and that God is punishing you, and I'm doing this to you because God gonna see that you get your day. Who is this person? Who is this person that God all of a sudden gave this authority and power to? God didn't give that to nobody, man. Nobody. This person don't have the right to hold you to your past, the right to make you pay. So who makes them pay when they make mistakes? Because they all make them. So when I say you have to have a sense of, you have to develop a strong sense of purpose, that means you have to strongly get in touch with your creator to find out what the purpose you were created for. See, It's two things that I had to learn along the way. My career was what I was paid for. My calling is what I was made for. See, it's two different things, folks. It took me a long time to learn it. And some people think that their calling is to be a performer. Well, that's what you paid for. And a big part of your life is your performance that's tied directly to your gift. But what you made for, though, what you made for is to bring about some significant change in another human being's lives, because we are all linked together in this chain. That's what you are here for. Everybody has a purpose to do something wonderful, meaningful, or impactful for another person. Show me the person that's not made for that. I just want to know, who isn't made to do that? Who isn't made to do something that will affect the life for the betterment and improvement of another person or people? You think the guy that invented the airplane was merely inventing the airplane so he could fly? No, his purpose was to become an inventor, to come up with this invention so he could fly, and we all fly. See, sometimes God will make you successful so you can become successful, so you can turn around and teach other people how to become successful. God saved people so you can turn around and tell other people how wonderful it is to be saved. You see how this thing works? That's what we have to do as people. And it's nothing that we have to go and discover. We have to go and develop it. But if you haven't discovered your purpose, it's simply because Here's it. If you haven't discovered your purpose, it's simply because you have not contacted the creator and maker of your soul to ask and find out why you were created. It's as simple as that. If you buy a Toyota, there's an owner's manual on the inside that will tell you everything you know, how to best operate your Toyota, how to make it work, how what to do. They got a troubleshooting section. Your faith is the same thing as an owner's manual in your car. Open up that book, man. Find out how to jumpstart your life, how to troubleshoot it, and get on with your life and find out your purpose and develop a strong sense of purpose this year. All right? Okay, cool.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, y'all, ladies and gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning to all of you. This show today is being dedicated to anybody who has captured or has possession of a tiger. Yeah. To all of you who have captured, wrestled, or own a tiger, congratulations.
This show
is dedicated to y'all.
Yeah, we always dedicate our show to the forgotten ones.
So thoughtful.
You know what I'm saying? Just open this up a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's up, Shirley?
Hey, Steve. How you doing?
What is that?
That's my tiger sound.
One more time.
Like a dog.
No, this is a dog.
Love making animal sounds.
They're the same thing. One of them is just sick. Well, Junior.
Morning, Unc. Morning, everybody. What's happening?
Fool number two.
What is going on, everybody? Watch out there now.
Oh.
Watch out there now.
Yeah.
Watch out there now.
Well,
watch
you
out
know.
There now.
Yeah, okay.
Watch out there now.
Okay. We're watching.
Me and one more.
Never
we're watching.
That yeah, they ain't never let you do that over there.
Not that many.
I know he did. Yeah, because that's a lot.
What that in Hey, that's enough. That's yeah. enough. Yeah.
It is, but I'm one more.
What that in
because I'm big. Yeah, between me and him, I'm good in it. last one.
What that in
You know what I'm saying?
So are you happy here, Jake?
I'm so happy here. Okay. I'm so happy. But, you know, it's a different plantation, which means your ass still got to pick cotton.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you going to do your share over here?
Yeah, you're going to do your share over here. Don't think that you've been sold. You're going to be laid up under a tree and not do a damn thing. Who knows?
Ain't no such thing
and
as free.
Also, I want to dedicate the show in honor of Tommy.
Oh.
Yeah, I want in honor of Tommy.
Your nephew, why?
Yeah. For little people. And I'm not talking about
Tigers and Tommy.
T.T.
T.T.
T.T. Tiny Tommy. Tiny Tommy and Tigers. Triple T. Didn't he have a company called TNT?
He does.
Tigers and Tommy.
Oh, man. This show is crazy. Are you sure, Jay?
Oh, I'm so happy. Okay.
He'll be in a little bit later today. But you know one thing about this show? It goes on, man, because we got stars on this show, baby. Yeah. We got real stars on this show.
I've said it once, and I'm going to say it again. Championship team.
That's what this is.
No one says it quite like you, Jay.
Championship team.
Championship team. Boy.
Championship.
No, Shirley, you can't say it like that. Championship team.
Man.
Anyway.
It's going to be ignorant today. Mm-hmm.
I think so. It's Friday. It always is.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah. Woo! All right. Coming up, something funny when we come back at 34 after.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
It is time for something funny.
This is the setup of when you know it is time to take your butt back to church. You get up and you go, whoa, I need to go get... Somebody need to lay hands on me right now.
Jesus!
Jesus! Jesus, how did I get here? When you wake up and you with somebody and you don't know their name, it is time to go back. Who you?
Talk about backslide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
How long we been laying?
Why I got handcuffs on? You got one, Juice?
Yeah, you know it's time to go back to church when you wake up and there's bite marks all over your body. Mm. You can't explain none of them. Who? I'm doing too much.
You know it's time to go back to church.
You know it's time to go back to church, man.
When you wake up and you got her phone on. God. What the hell? We were.
Why do I have this song? And it's backwards. You got the front part in the back. And the back part in the front.
That's a crazy visual.
Jesus help me.
Yeah, that's a crazy visual right there.
Steve, you got one?
It's time for you to go back to church when you're starting to look at your boy's grandmama and starting to feel some kind of way.
Yeah.
I mean, oh, Father God, I'm so sorry.
You need to go pray. It's time to go back to
Miss
church.
Miss Gladys.
Yeah. It is time. Ooh, Miss Inez, girl. You doing something to me. Wow. I never felt this way like before. All right, here's one. You know it's time to go back to church when you see spank marks on your behind and you don't know how they got there.
Yeah, you can't tell.
Yeah.
You can't tell. It's time to go back to church.
Excuse me, did you spank me?
No, and it's a man hand. What you got,
dude? I tell you, there's another way you know it's time to go to church. This actually happened to me. I went the next day. When your lights, water, and gas get turned off on the same day, you can't do nothing.
It's time to go back to church.
You know it's time to go back when you wake up and your whole chest is pierced.
Oh! Ouch.
Yeah. And I get piercings on me. Oh, I need the Lord.
It is time to go back to church.
Come on, Steve.
It's time for you to go back to church. You've been arguing with this fine girl for an hour and a half. Uh-huh. Trying to convince her that ain't no way y'all can be cuz.
It's time to go. We're not really cousins now. Come on.
How you figure that?
We're about down to the fifth. Yeah. All right, it's time to go back to church. You know it's time to go back to church when you wake up with a tattoo that says Veronica. And you don't know nobody named Veronica. It's time to go back to church.
It's time to go back to church when you start stalking anybody on Little Women of LA. I'm talking about them everywhere they at.
Tanya.
Hey. Tanya is fine, though. She is fine.
Hey, I'm over there looking for
Tanya. Tanya is fine.
It's time to go back to church. You had a wonderful night with a woman. You wake up and pass by the bathroom, and she's standing up peeing. What the hell happened here? What the hell happened? Yeah. Who is that? Help me, Lord Jesus.
Come on, Steve.
You wake up in the morning. This is how you know it's really. You got to go.
I know.
You wake up in the morning.
Yeah.
It's eight. Eight open condom wrappers in the bed. You have no idea how they got there.
Eight.
You did that, though.
Yeah,
you did that,
you though. Can't explain.
Yeah, you did the damn thing.
Not necessarily, though.
Yeah, exactly.
You know it's time to go back to church. Mm-hmm. When you wake up with a glass eye.
In your palm.
You holding a glass eye.
Out of nowhere?
Out of nowhere. It's time to go back to church.
You keep running around looking at other people.
Yeah. Where did I get a glass eye?
It's really time to go back to church.
Okay.
When you wake up outside in somebody else's driveway, you have no idea what neighborhood you in.
That's pretty. That's pretty.
Yeah, that is. That definitely.
Yeah, that's pretty rough. That's pretty rough.
Yeah. All right. I mean,
come on.
You know, it's time to go back to church.
Mm-hmm.
When you wake up and everybody around you got Ku Klux Klan hoods on. Man, what the hell I do? What did I do last night, man?
Time for you to go back to church. You wake up. You got a pentagon drawn on your chest. And you got a book entitled 10 Cool Things About Satan.
Oh, yeah, you need to get your prayer.
You know it's time to go back to church. You know it's time to go back to church when you wake up with peanut butter all over your body.
What? No jelly.
No jelly.
Steve, come on, Steve.
If you went to your son's high school basketball game and you can't quit thinking about one of them cheerleaders.
Yeah, it's time to go back. It's time to get on back up in there, man.
All right. Coming up next, Nephew Tommy's Run That Prank Back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up next, the king is in the building, a prank phone call. What you got, man?
You in my house. Now, my grandma used to say, as far as you in my house,
yeah.
We will serve the Lord. That ain't got nothing to do with this here.
Nothing.
The title of this here is You in My House.
Hello. Hey, this is Preston. Where did y'all leave the key at? I'm about 2 hours out.
Hey, you got the wrong number, bro.
Call him back. Yeah. Is this Troy?
Yeah, it's Troy. Who this?
Hey, this is I'm Preston, man. Listen, I'm on my way to the house. I'm about 2 hours out. Where did y'all leave the key at, man?
Hold on, wait. Let me get up. You on your way to what house?
I'm on my way there. Are you at the house?
I'm at my house. Yeah. What did you say your name was?
This is Preston. Okay. Hold on, man. I don't understand. Okay, I'm on my way to the house.
What house? That's my question. What house you talking about?
Okay, are you at 69 Woods Drive?
Yeah, that's my house.
Okay, I don't understand that. All right, so listen, I'm about 2 hours out, man. I got two U-Haul trucks. We en route there. We'll be there in about 2 hours. But I thought y'all was out the house by now. I'm kind of see where the key at.
Out the house? Hold on, man. Let me get up. What you say? You got two U-Haul trucks. What you got them for? What's in there?
I'm moving into the house. I bought the house.
You moving into what?
Okay, how you don't know I bought the house, man?
What house you talking about?
Oh, you on Woods Drive? I bought this house from Tisdale.
Tisdale. That's who we got the house from. Wait, you say you bought the house?
Okay, wait a minute. You leased the house from Tisdale, right?
Yeah, right. We still got about another year left in our lease. We ain't out this house for another year. I mean, and we supposed to renew that.
Okay, we got a problem. Let me try to. Okay, oh.
Yeah.
We bought.
I need to get my wife on the phone.
Hold on a minute.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So, now, Tisdale tell me that y'all supposed to be at the house, and I'm calling because he said y'all going to leave the key in a certain place.
Tisdale ain't told you no like, man. Let me get Tisdale on the phone. We ain't hearing nothing about no selling or no house or no nothing like that.
Okay, well, I didn't bought the house from Tisdale, and I'm 2 hours out. I might get there a little quicker. How soon do you think y'all can get y'all stuff out the house?
Get what stuff out what house?
Y'all gonna have to get y'all stuff out the house.
Get what stuff? You a guy a lot of that. You think we're gonna get we look, like I said, man, we need to get Tisdale on the phone and get this cleared up. You a mother, I tell you what, you bring the U-Haul trucks if you want to, y'all better take that back where you come from. I tell you that.
Hey, listen, man. The mistake, first of all, okay, you arguing with me about my house. That's my house.
No,
let's get that understood.
Now, see, now you pissing me off. I'm gonna tell you like I'm gonna tell them. Ain't none of this ain't going down the way you think it's gonna go down. You understand? We signed the lease to be in this house for a year. I mean, that's what we gonna do. We gonna be in this house for a whole year. You ain't gonna be here for another year. So you might as well go get yourself ready.
You don't own the house no more. I own the house. You got to get your out, man. I'm 2 hours out.
Yeah, man. Look, man. Listen to me now. Listen. We done been in this house 5 years, okay? We got 1 year left in this house. Okay, look, ain't gonna be no moving in today. I can't move my man. I got wife, I got kids, and man. I look. I'm telling you. It's like you said. We gotta talk Tisdale. But I'm telling you, man. You pull up today at U-Haul. I swear for Lord, I'm gonna whoop your. You done called me with all this. I ain't got no notice or nothing. You understand what I'm saying?
But let me ask you something.
We ain't talk Tisdale.
That ain't got nothing
Tisdale
to do with
the one
me.
That, Tisdale one time agree with me. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay, well, that's between you and Tisdale. But right now, I'm on my way to my house. And you got to get your out of my house.
No, you on your way to my house.
No,
and I
I'm
tell
on
you
my
what,
way
if you
to
come
my
to,
house,
if you,
got
if you
your
no,
house,
no,
not
you come
house.
To my house, you're going to get your ass handed to you.
Let me say this. Wait, is your wife and kids there right now?
They at church. Where your ass need to be?
Okay. Is there any room in? What's in the garage? Any room in the garage? Can you move all your stuff?
No, what's in my garage? You raggedy. Like I just told you, you pull up to my house, I'm gonna get some furniture moving in this.
Hey man, let me tell you something. You getting your black look. You getting your black look.
Will you come make me do it? You come make me do it. Move out my house today. What's in my garage? Then what's in your garage? You tell me that. What's in your garage?
Look, I'm gonna allow you to do this. Move all your stuff into the garage.
No, I'm gonna allow you to get your whooped.
Okay.
Understand what I'm saying?
So I see now. You want your whooped in front of your wife and kids.
So you gonna whoop my? Is that what you gonna do? I tell you what. You bring them U-Hauls. You bring your wife, your kids, your dog. And you bring any about it. I whoop all your. Right here in front
it's
of my
not,
house.
It's not your house. It's mine. I bought the house from Tisdale.
Look, I tell you what. You meet me right in front of the yard. I'm going to be right out here standing in my room. I'm going to whoop your to my robe and my house shoes. How about that? Going to tell me to move out my house.
You know what else Tisdale told me to tell you? Do you know what else Tisdale told me to tell you?
I tell you one thing. You going to tell me whatever Tisdale told you, but I tell you one thing. I ain't moving out my house today. I'm telling you that right now. Ain't gonna be no moving out here. You say what the Tisdale told you to say.
I'm gonna tell you this. Hear what Tisdale told me to tell you. Tisdale told me to tell you that this is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Troy, your wife and Tisdale got me to prank phone call you.
This is some boo. I done put my pants on. I'm gonna put my boots on. I'm waiting. I'm sitting right here in my living room looking out the window, waiting for this you all to pull up. Because I'm so gonna tear fire from your boy. I tell you, man, I can't even go back to sleep now. You done got me fired up.
Hey, Troy, I gotta ask you before I go, man, what is the baddest, and I'm talking about the baddest, radio show in the land?
Steve Harvey Morning Show. Ain't that bad?
Come on.
Okay.
You give it to me.
The ignorant going. You really does.
He really does.
Hi, boy. You ignorant. You ignorant for real. You stupid. My nephew just said he is the king of prank.
You got to be stupid.
The ignorant can't go down. It's got to be up.
It's got to go
next
up.
Next level ignorance, baby.
And it stays there. The ignorant go up.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, you started telling us about this young woman you were dating.
Well, let me just tell you, I met this girl in college.
Uh-huh.
Lord, she was fine. Mm-hmm. Creole girl. My brother told me how to get her, and he gave me some money to take her out. So I told her to pick a restaurant. She picked a Creole restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm 17. I ain't had no Creole food, so I'm in.
Uh-huh.
I go in there. She done ordered all this spicy stuff, etouffee, all this. But spicy, though.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
I'm eating stuff, man, ain't never been in my system before. So I'm taking her home, and my stomach is turning. So we get at the front of her house. I'm going to walk her to the door. She said, come on in for a little while. My mom and them gone.
Oh.
Now, my mama had told me, when your stomach is tore up, try to go home.
Yes.
Yes.
Don't put that in nobody else's house.
Great advice. Good advice. Yes.
But she was so fine, I just said, well, man, let me go on in here for a little while. Because what kind of man would I be? Fine chick invite you in and mom and daddy ain't there. Let me at least go on in here. Something.
But your stomach. I mean, really?
Shirley, this a girl. Every man would have went in there.
Everyone. Oh, okay.
So I'm sitting there on the couch. We watching TV. My stomach is turning. I can hear it. So I said, can I go to the bathroom?
Oh,
she
Lord.
Said, second door on the left. I go in there, and Lord have mercy.
Sorry if you're eating
the
breakfast.
Walls of Gibraltar.
The what?
Coming
the
down.
Walls of Gibraltar.
That's
the I done grabbed the tile rack in front of me to just try to hang on. I'm twisting the guest tile in my hand like I'm wringing it out. I done knocked the toilet tissue holder off the wall. Screws out everything.
Wait,
I done kicked over the trash can.
She could hear this, right?
I don't hear it.
You're telling
she
the
wasn't feeling what I was feeling. But I'm using the bathroom so much that it's alarming to me.
Yeah.
You.
I've actually put more in there than I've ever put in there in my life prior to.
I think we got the picture.
Oh, you
we got
it.
We got it.
I didn't know. Don't stop my story, Shirley. This is for Junior and Tommy.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
So I'm filling the bowl up. So finally I'm done, to my relief. But I'm sweating, though. I'm talking about I'm in there, man.
Is you out your shirt?
I'm talking about shirt wide open. I had unbuttoned my whole shirt. It's wide open. I had hung my pants up on the back of the door.
Because
I use a bathroom like my daddy. I always hang my pants and drawers up on the back of the door.
Come on, your jacket!
Yeah, you don't ever use the bathroom. But I got my shirt on. But I didn't open it up because it's hot. I got just water coming down out the front. So I stand up and I flush the toilet.
Uh-oh.
Now, I'm putting my clothes on, but you know how you're waiting to hear that sound?
Yeah.
That
yeah,
that's gone. Hear it. It's gone.
The swoosh.
All I hear is the swirling.
Oh.
And I turn around and it's rising.
It's rising?
Oh, my God.
Now, I'm asking God not to do this to me today.
I know you're praying.
I'm asking God, not today, Lord.
We have to have a part three.
This ain't the time for this.
Yeah, hold tight, dog.
Hang on, Steve.
Lord, stop this swirl from rising. In your name, right, Father God.
Boy praying,
you ain't ever heard me. Hear me now, oh God.
Steve, we have to go to Miss Ann, so.
I will, but Jesus.
Reel it in.
Stop
and
this swirl, but it's steady coming.
Oh, God.
Part two, right after this.
I'm going to let Miss Ann just go into it today. These are the news facts with Miss Ann.
Okay. After that, okay, whatever. Can't wait to hear the balance of that story. Anyway, I've got some stories for you, everybody. This is Antrim with the news. The Trump administration has now started the biggest trade war in history. As of midnight, the U.S. has slapped 25% tariffs on $34 billion of Chinese goods. But the Chinese are not sitting around doing nothing. China's responded with equivalent tariffs on U.S. products. They're also apparently making things difficult once they get to China to get through customs. Deputy Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Andrew Wheeler taken over as acting head of the EPA on Monday. That in the wake of embattled Chief Scott Pruitt's resignation. Pruitt leaves amid a growing list of ethical lapses, alleged anyway. During Pruitt's time on the job, he began unraveling scores of Obama-era environmental protections. The former Oklahoma Attorney General leaves office, subject of no less than 14 separate federal probes. They say that he allegedly rented a room from a lobbyist well below market rate. He had EPA workers trying to get his wife a job. He already was determined to have violated spending laws by the Government Accountability Office. He purchased a $43,000 soundproof phone booth for his office. The Staten Island woman who climbed up the Statue of Liberty on July 4th has been charged with trespassing, interfering with a government agency, and disorderly conduct. Therese Patricia Okumu pled not guilty yesterday. Authorities say Okumu climbed the base of Lady Liberty statue, waved a T-shirt that said, "Rise and resist. Trump care makes us sick." She told supporters she was taking her cue from former First Lady Michelle Obama.
"When they go low, we go high. And I went as high as I could."
She was released without bail. It's happened again, this time in Oregon. A black state representative says some woman called the police on her as she was merely engaged in door-to-door political campaigning in her own district. Democratic Representative Jane L. Bynum says she commended the white cop who arrived for his professionalism and asked to see the woman who called the cops, but she refused to show her face. Politically conservative actor James Woods is claiming that his theatrical agent has officially dropped him and doesn't want to work with him anymore on July 4th because of his right-wing views and support of Donald Trump. The agent dropped him via Twitter. Woods posted the message, which read in part, "It's the 4th of July. I'm feeling patriotic, so I don't want to represent you anymore." Woods calls this now former talent agent a political liberal. Finally, today is International Kissing Day. But you know, by the way, a new survey shows that 14% of us let our pets kiss us in the mouth, and 2% say they've never been kissed. Oh, we'll be back with more entertainment in today's trending topics 20 minutes after the hour on the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Here we are, Steve.
All right, I'm back. Just catch up. I'm over this fine girl house, stomach tore up, then ate Creole food, 17, should have went home to use the bathroom, like sat in her house because she fine. Now I'm in here using the bathroom, and all hell done broke loose in here.
Come on,
I'm
boy.
In here naked, sitting on the toilet with just my shirt on, because I like to sit wide-legged. I like to be open and free, and I need it because I had to brace myself a couple times.
But she never came in there to knock on the door to check.
No, not yet. She coming. That's coming in the store.
Oh, okay.
So I get up. I finally get through, but I've noticed that I put more in the bowl than ever before.
Oh, God!
So I'm a little bit concerned with their sheer volume. So I flush the toilet as I'm putting my pants back up on me.
Uh-huh.
And I'm waiting to hear that. Yeah. But I don't hear it. And I look back, and it's rising.
Oh, Lord.
It's
Lord,
just going
Lord.
In a slow circle.
Oh,
so I go in, I go to my Heavenly Father.
Right.
Say, Father God,
pray on
please.
This bowl, boy. Pray on
not
this bowl.
Not now, Lord.
Pray hard, hard.
Stop this rising tide.
Well.
Somehow, don't let this swirl get up by the top. But he didn't hear me that day.
Yeah.
I guess it was a lesson.
It's a lesson.
So next thing I know, it's at the very top of the toilet.
Oh, my God.
And it's about to flow over.
Oh.
So now I don't know what to do.
Uh-uh.
So I look down, and it's a trash can.
Oh, man.
So I dip the trash can down in it.
Oh.
And I got a trash can full of it.
Yeah.
So I pull the shower curtain back and throw it in the bathtub.
Oh, my God.
But here comes some more.
Oh, God.
So I had to take another trash can full of it and throw another trash can in the bathtub.
Oh,
and here comes some damn more. So now I realize they toilet is broke.
Oh, you
they toilet
realize
is broke it. And backed up. And it started going back down.
Oh, you
so then it, I say, I got to get some water and put it in here.
Yeah.
So I started running water in the trash can to pour it down there and make the water go clean.
Right.
I finally did that.
Yeah.
And I said, thank you, Lord.
Uh-huh.
And I looked over, and the damn bathtub is trite. The shower curtain is trite. I look up, man. It's on the wall.
Wait,
on
hold
the
on.
Wall.
It's on the wall.
Part four, hold
this,
on.
This is R. Kelly's in the closet. This is Steve Harvey's in the bathroom.
Yeah. Trapped.
Part four coming up right after this. Trapped in the bathroom. Part four. It's on the walls, the shower curtain, and the bathtub is shot.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Steve. Trapped in the bathroom.
Yeah.
I done bailed out three buckets, trash cans of pure mess, then throwed it in the shower.
Gross.
So
get all of the water back in the toilet where I got it sometimes, and the water clean. I said, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. I look over. The damn bathtub is trifling. So now I cut these people shower on.
Yeah. These people.
And I'm washing down the walls, the shower curtain with the shower. The girl comes up to the door because I've been in here now about 45 minutes.
Whoa.
I'm a cleaner for a long time. So she said, you okay in there? Everything fine.
This ain't going good.
She said, it sounds like something wrong in there. Get away from the door.
To get away from the dust.
She said, well, okay.
It's my house.
So I'm in there. It's this too late, but I noticed they got a candle in the bathroom.
Oh.
I light it. Oh, I light the candle, start striking matches and running tap water.
Okay.
That's what my mom always told me. Strike some matches and run some tap water. Uh-huh. It'll help you get rid of odor.
Okay.
So
okay.
I'm in there. But now I'm washing down shower curtains, walls, the bathtub, getting up stuff off the floor. I'm just in here. Now, you probably saying, Steve, what is you washing it down with?
Yeah, that's what we're probably
wasn't
saying.
No paper towels in there, but that towel rack that I had grabbed when I first sat down and was twisting it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They guest towels.
The pretty ones with the lace and the flowers and the
embroidery on it.
Yeah,
had tees on it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm washing it down with.
Not my good towels.
Now, this towel is brown. Because I can't rinse it all out. It
what color was it when it started?
Pink. They was pink.
This is awful.
Now the towels is running. I done washed all the walls down, everything. I'm in there sweating.
You working.
My ass been on a construction site.
You are working.
So I've been in there total about damn near an hour. So I pull, I fasten my clothes. I look at the bathroom. I got everything up.
Oh.
But I got this big nasty ass towel, and I don't know what to do with it. So I take it, put it in the waste paper can that I've been bailing with, and stuck all that under the sink. Okay.
Yeah.
I figure this ain't finna be good, no how.
Yeah.
But at least when they come in here, they it's gonna take a moment. Because I know when you go in there, you're gonna have to say, what the hell happened here? Because I couldn't remember how the shower curtain was or none of that. And I'm telling you, I got everything off.
Right, right.
So I walk down the hallway.
Uh-huh.
She's sitting on the couch with an attitude.
Of course she has an attitude.
Her arms folded.
Yes,
then she looked at me and she said, why you been in there so long?
Right.
I had a little accident. Then she said, oh, my God, look at you.
What was
wrong? I didn't realize. But when I was bailing all that mess into the shower, it was splashing on my pants below my knee.
God,
I ain't had time to look at this because I'm too busy cleaning up their damn house. Now, I look down. It's just specks and splash marks of mess from my knee down. My pants was trifling. I looked at her. She looked at me and she said, oh, my God, look at you. What have you been doing?
What did you say?
I looked at her and said, you ain't got to talk to me like that. And walked out the front door and slammed
it. Never came back.
It ain't been
went in there and got in my car, had to ride home with all my windows down. Because I stink. I smell like a skunk sitting in that car.
Coming up, it's the nephew with a prank phone call for today, right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, coming up, the nephew is here with one of his fabulous, insightful, wonderful pranks.
All right, fool, what you got for us today?
What you got, nephew? You heard me.
I've got this going out to a partner of mine. I call it Jack Yates, but the title of this is called Chicken for the Repass.
Jack Yates.
Yeah, this was a partner of mine.
Third Ward, Texas.
Jack Yates. I call it Jack Yates. Chicken for the repass.
I see you, Third Ward.
Y'all better hold tight right quick now. The nephew got it for you.
Hey, Jeff. Hey, fries up, man. Get them up before they burn. Man, hurry up.
Hello?
What up? Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, thank you for calling.
Can I help you?
Hey, I'm trying to get an order, man. We just got through with a funeral. I'm trying to take some chicken over to the three pass where the family at, man.
All right, man. Well, how much you need?
Okay, I know I'm going to need probably like 125 pieces of chicken, dog. How long that take to cook?
We're not ready right now, man. It takes probably at least like 30, 45 minutes, bro. Kind of busy there right now.
Okay, all right. I need 125 pieces, man. But listen, I'm trying to make sure we get enough. You know how it is, man. Somebody passed, so we trying to make sure we got enough food at the house, man.
Yeah.
So what kind of size you got, man? Because I want to try to get large family sizes on. Y'all got potato salad?
Yeah, we have French fries, potato salad, greens, macaroni and cheese, you know, the normal stuff. How much you need of each of that?
Let me get like two of all of them, you know what I'm saying? Two of each. That ought to be. Go on, give me four of them greens, though, because I know they're going to want them greens.
Now, y'all got family size?
Yeah, family size on everything, man. Two of each, but give me four greens.
All right.
Okay, now, give me some rolls, man. At least 20 rolls to go with that.
All right. Do you need anything else?
Make sure I got a big thing of fries, man. You know, them kids like them fries. Let me get a big thing of fries.
You ordering a lot of food, man.
Yeah. I'm going to come get it, though. 30 minutes. So you said how long you before I need to be there?
Probably 35. You know, give us about 45 minutes before it'll be ready. All right, what's your name?
My name is Rob. Robert.
All right. And you got a phone number I can reach you at?
404-2-8-3.
Okay, I got you.
Okay, so you got 125 pieces. It's going to be mixed, right?
Yeah, white and
okay. Okay, there we go.
Did you want it spicy or mild or mixed? Or how did you want that?
You know what? Separated, man. What the mild is in one boxes, and then you got the spicy in other boxes. So, you know, we'll know so them kids won't get off, too.
All right.
Okay. Hey, Jim, man, can you take his order for me? I'm on the phone. Take his order.
All right. I got you, Robert.
What's my total on that, man, so I can go, you know, because I ain't finna pay for all this by myself. I got everybody pitching in on this.
Hold on. Let me get to this register right quick. It's going to be $208.75.
Yeah, okay, $208.75. 30 minutes, I'm going to start coming that way. What's your name, dog?
My name is Wayne.
All right, Wayne, I'm going to ask for you, but I'll be there in about 40 minutes, man.
All right.
All right.
Yeah, man, I speak to Robert.
This is Rob.
Hey, what's up, man? This is Wayne at Chicken, man. I was just calling to let you know we finished a little bit early, and your last batch of chicken, we just dropped it.
Okay, man, I meant to call you a few minutes ago, dog. Hey, listen, you cook all of it?
Yeah, man, you wanted 125 pieces, mixed, spicy, and mild, with four large sides of each thing, five large sides of fries. Yeah. I cooked all that for you. Got it ready.
Okay, check this out, dog. I've been talking to everybody, man. You know what, man? I'm just going to need about 10 pieces, dog. I ain't going to really need the rest of that.
Excuse me?
I just need 10 pieces, dog. I talked to everybody, man. Everybody went and bought some. They want a hamburger, so I'm just going to need 10 pieces of that chicken.
Bro, man, we already cooked all the chicken, man. I got 125 pieces, bro. If you don't come by this, I'm in trouble, man. What the you mean you only need 10 pieces?
I just need 10 pieces, dog. You know, I don't need all that. I don't want to buy nothing I don't need. I just need 10 pieces.
Man, nah, bro. You going to come by this chicken, man. This some we just sit here. It's only me and one other dude up here. We working our off, and you going to come get this chicken.
Hey, dog, I'm not finna buy no chicken I don't want, man. I'm not finna do that, dog. I mean, you know, I'm doing this for the bereaving family, man. So, you know, like I say, yeah, I'm going to take 10 pieces by there and drop that off, man. But, I don't need that whole 125 or whatever.
Robert, your better be on the way to come get this chicken or it's going to be some shit. I cooked all this chicken, man. What the am I supposed to do, man? My manager found out about shit. I'm going to get fired. What
okay, dog, you ain't got nobody else that's going to buy some chicken today?
Now, who the hell is going to come up here and buy 125 pieces of chicken?
Jeff, man, the call back to my he don't want 125. He only want a 10 piece.
Manager gonna be, yeah, that gonna be out.
Hello?
Yo, I just need 10 pieces, man.
Man, I cooked up all this chicken for you, reorganized it and everything.
Okay, dog, well, listen, man, won't you just sell it little by little today? Just sell it little by little.
Man, there's no way in hell, man. We don't have the time for this, bro. I'm not about to unpack all this chicken, man, and put it back up, bro. Yo, better come get this chicken or it's gonna be, tell you that. Man, I don't give a, man, I will call every funeral home around, find out who died, and I will come find your. Robert, you gonna come up here and get this chicken.
Hey, man, I'm not finna buy no chicken I don't want, man. I want 10 pieces. That's it.
No, your wants 125 pieces of chicken because that's what the hell you called to tell me that you want it.
Hey, man, who you think you're talking to?
I'm talking to you. I'm talking to that's about to come up to and buy the chicken. 125 pieces of it. That's who I'm talking to. So bring your $208.75 and come buy the chicken.
Oh,
man, y'all, Jeff, calm down, man.
Man, he need to come and get this chicken, man. Man,
magical fires, man. Yeah,
if he comes up, then we all fire, bro. You're gonna get this ticket right now. You gonna get this ticket.
Hold on. First of all, this robber, who you think you talking about whooping, dog?
I'm talking to you. I told you, I'm talking to the that's gonna come up here and get this chicken. Either you gonna bring $208 or you gonna come up here and get 10 pieces of chicken whooping. It's up to you, but either way, coming up here. What you wanna do?
I'm finna send somebody else up there to get the chicken, man, okay?
Who you gonna send up here?
Tommy coming to get the chicken.
Tommy who? What's his name and number? Gotta get all our information I can from you. What's his name?
Tommy, man. Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
What the hell you just say to me?
Why ain't this a nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show?
Man, this is some man, you about to have somebody get whooped, bro. What am I supposed to do with all this chicken, though?
Wayne, your cousin, man. You got a cousin named Courtney?
Oh, that dirty.
Y'all cooked all that chicken, man?
Yeah, we cooked up all that chicken, bro.
Hey, Wayne, this is what I'm doing, man. On behalf of nephew Tommy, I'm finna give you my credit card, and we're gonna donate chicken all day, man. You see some homeless people or whatever, you just pass out some chicken. We finna get it paid for right now, Wayne.
Yeah, man, I can't trust that. Y'all got me paranoid. I'm about to run right now.
Hey, Wayne, one more thing, man. What's the baddest, and I mean the baddest, radio show in the land?
Oh, man, the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
The crazy part is they cooked all that chicken. Hey,
we're going to give it to the homeless, baby. We good.
That was good, nephew. That was one of my
Keep
it stupid. Mm-hmm.
King of pranks. Best I ever seen.
Yeah.
Best I ever seen.
What about him?
You'll hear about him in a minute. What's wrong, Carl?
You prank about anything.
God.
Oh, well, me who wasn't going to mount anything.
Man, please stop acting surprised. You didn't know either.
The victim, Steve.
Oh, he was in the dark as well?
I heard him say it. I don't really see myself being that. I took him for a bike ride that day. Showed him that one day he could live in the hood in his own.
A hood house.
Yeah, that was my way of dreaming.
You can own this corner. This corner house. This lot been here for 50 years. Miss Elmo live here. Miss Johnson live here.
Oh, thank God for Jesus.
He won't do it.
Made it all right. Okay, coming up next is this strawberry letter.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, it's time for today's strawberry letter. And if you are in a situation and you need some advice, please submit your letter to steveharveyfm.com. That's steveharveyfm.com. We could read your letter on the air. Nephew, let's go.
Buckle up and hold on tight. We got it for you. Here it is, the strawberry letter.
That's the brother right there. All right, subject, let's get it started. Dear Stephen Shirley, I am darn near 50 years old, and my wife
is 40.
Just say
damn near.
Okay, no, it does.
Shirley, you're not going to stop. You're going to stop doing that with these letters.
You all just like to cuss, okay?
No,
just
no,
say
you
that.
You got to read what the people... If
they
people
wrote
cuss,
it, Shirley. It's not you cussing. It's what they said.
I am darn near 50 years old, and my wife
Shirley,
is 40.
Let me
40.
Just ask you this. Were you watching CNN when Donald Trump made the S-hole comment about Haiti and Africa? Every commentator took it upon themselves to take an advantage of that situation.
They did.
Because it's journalism.
Yeah. All right. And
start being a professional journalist.
Yeah, I am darn near 50 years old and my wife is 40. We've been married for almost 10 years and have two children, both under the age of 5. I want to make sure you all have the details. First of all, I love my wife, but... It's in all caps, B-U-T, all caps. But here is the problem. If I want some cookie, I have to initiate it 95% of the time. Sometimes she will, but it is rare for me. I don't want to feel like I am forcing her to do something she doesn't want to do. However, I think we are both young enough to have the time of our lives. I have often gone to bed frustrated with the lack of cookie in our life. I have gone to bed naked. I have purchased her sexy lingerie, which she does not wear. I have even told her that sometimes she can initiate the sex, but nothing changes. I think she doesn't feel confident in her bedroom skills, but this leaves me frustrated too often or thinking I am just horrible in bed. She acts like I am the best in the world when we do engage, but why doesn't she initiate it more often? I feel like she should come and talk to me and tell me I am not as good in bed as I think I am. I have never cheated on my wife, and I have no plans to, but I can't keep going to sleep sexually frustrated. What else can I do to have her make the first move? Or am I stuck making the first move forever? Please help. Well, I mean, you might have to. You might have to. I mean, if you want it, you have to go after what you want. You've talked to her about it. You do it 95% of the time. That 5% of the time, maybe that's all you'll have for now. Maybe she is uncomfortable sexually, and maybe you have to keep going until she gets more comfortable. Or, you know, maybe she'll never get more comfortable. Maybe it was the way she was raised. You never know unless you guys do have some honest communication about your, you know, sexual life or lack thereof. So you're going to have to talk to her. I mean, I know you want these changes, but it's your wife. You guys are married. You can talk. You can communicate. You can tell her what you like and what you don't like. You can keep starting it and starting it. You want to feel like she finds you attractive, too. But when you do, she's cool with it. She says she acts like you're the best in the world. So, you know, maybe you guys are going to have to compromise and come to some sort of agreement right there. Meet in the middle somewhere. But talking and communicating is first, I would say. Steve?
Well.
He goes to bed naked.
Here we go. Yeah. The married man's plight. Yeah, let's talk about this for a minute. He 50, she 40. Is that what it's saying?
That's what it says. Yeah. He says darn near 50.
He damn near 50. His wife 40. They've been married 10 years. And they got 2 kids. Both under the age of 5. See, here he say, I want to make sure you have all the details. Well, sir, right now, I need to make sure you got all the details, too. Because, see, 2 kids under 5. Ain't nothing sexy about that. Kids is mood killers. Kids is buzz killers. Kids is blockers. Kids is in the way. Kids create interference. That's what kids is. So now that you wanted us to have the details, I just wanted to throw that at you. Now you say, first you love my wife, but here's the problem. If I want some cookie, I got to initiate 95% of the time. I would venture to say, that's 95% of the marital situation today. I would venture to say, I could be wrong, but this is just an opinion of mine. I think in a marriage, once them kids is here, that is usually the man that's trying to initiate. 95% of the time, in 95% of the marriages. Now, there's that other thing that some woman listening to, I can't keep my hands off your mind. Well, we're not married to you. And you ain't in this letter. I'm glad you exist, but I ain't got time to go find nobody else.
You're working, Steve. You're working.
I got jobs. Yeah. I got a legacy I'm working on and a family I'm trying to maintain and hold together. So now, sometimes she will, but it's rare for me. I don't want to feel like I'm forcing her to do something she don't want to do. However, I think we both young enough to have the time of our lives. I've often gone to bed frustrated with the lack of cookie in our life. I have gone to bed naked. That ain't nothing for me.
And Tommy.
I'm in that naked every night.
Yeah. Stay with
me. I go to bed naked because I can't afford having stuff getting twisted and wrapped up on me.
Yes.
I got immovable objects that's rare that can't get tugged and tossed on. But I sleep naked just in case. Just in case.
Be ready. Stay ready.
I have purchased her sexy lingerie, which she does not wear. I have told her that sometimes she can initiate sex, but nothing changes. I think she doesn't feel confident in her bedroom skills. Dog, it's them damn kids. Them kids is wearing her ass out. You got two kids under five, dog. You got to understand, these kids is wearing this poor woman out. She ain't got time for you.
All right, Steve.
I want this damn dog out of our house we just bought up in here. How about that?
Well, that part two.
Personal now. I'm sorry.
Part two of your
you
response coming up at 23. After, we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve. Come on, let's get to it. Part two of your response.
See this man
today.
Right here. He 50. His wife 40. They got two kids under five, and he frustrated because he going to bed naked because she won't initiate sex. He got initiated 95% of the time. Now, before I left, what I tried to point out to the man, which he tried to tell us at the beginning of the letter, was so we have all the facts that they have two kids under five. It's them damn kids. Them kids is wearing this woman out. Them kids are something else. I'll give you an example. When the grandkids come over our house, them ain't even our kids no more. I got rid of all our kids. I thought they was gone. But now when they come back, they bring more people with them. They call grandkids. They sleep in the bed with us, which kills my sleeping naked. Can't sleep naked with a grandbaby in the bed. Them kids is mood killers. They block us. Them kids is actually birth control. Maybe your wife ain't so antsy to get up on you because she don't want no more kids. That could be it. She threw it to these kids. She got these two babies under five. You laying over here naked. She sitting up in here, man, and just put them to sleep. She trying to get some rest because she got to go deal with these kids. That could be it, man. I would venture to say that that's probably it. Now, what are you? You would like for her to initiate this a little bit more. That ain't going to happen.
That's all he wants.
I mean, you know what? Look, we would all like for our girl to be a little bit more forceful. Hey, baby. You know, but for the most part in a marriage, it's usually the man that's initiating.
Usually.
Ain't that right, Cheryl?
That's right.
See what I'm saying? Because Cheryl up at the house playing the same damn game. Same damn game. Well, okay, well, all right then. All right then, my ass. I don't want no all right then here. That ain't what I want. I want some hot... Fiery, give it to me. I'm about to tear your damn clothes off. That's what a man wants. Now, the man say he ain't never cheated on his wife. He has no plans on it. Well, you got to fix something at the house.
That's right.
But it's them damn kids, though. It's just like, nah, at our house, it's this damn dog.
You guys have a new dog, right?
Yeah, we got a new dog, Baron. He blocking.
You keep talking about this dog.
I didn't ask for the dog. You ain't never heard me ask for a dog.
What's his name, Steve?
Bear.
Bear.
Black ass Bear. I want to get off barbecue and smoke cigars, drink scotch. That's what I want to do when I get off.
Yeah.
What kind of dog is it?
The Doberman. Ooh. Scared of his ass. I wish I would. What I'm not finna do is be scared in my house.
Right.
So... It's the kids, dog. Ain't nothing you can do. You done bought the lingerie. You want her to come on to you like she did when she was trying to get you. But them days is probably gone. Or you're going to have to invest in some money to get them kids sent away somewhere.
Steve!
No, I didn't mean it like that. I'm sorry. I meant like a babysitter or something like that.
Like to grandmother's house?
You know, a nanny or something like that. Or a hell boarding school.
But then you're going to have to wear
what?
Them.
Boarding
what? School.
People get their kids sent to boarding school all the time.
I know.
All the time. This ain't, it ain't against the law. But that ain't what you want to do. You want to have your kids close.
You want to send them to boarding school so you can have more sex?
Yeah, I wish I'd have thought of that. Send every last one of them.
And bear, huh?
But I didn't because I would have missed raising my boys and girls. So I want them close by because I wanted to instill some things in them that boarding school was unable to. And I've done that. They're not perfect, but hell, I wouldn't either. Mm. Now back to this letter. This how it is, dog.
Yeah.
This just how it is. Welcome to Marriage 101.
All
right, I can tell
Steve.
You right now, you can quit going to bed, Nick. Stop all
it
that.
It ain't gonna work.
It ain't been working for you.
Because them damn kids gonna walk in. Right, they getting up out the bed. Your ass in there naked. And it's hard because you don't sleep with a bath towel next to the bed. So now you got to get up and the baby's seeing you. Daddy naked walking to the room. And then you didn't say if you was in shape or not.
He left out that detail.
Yeah, so now this walk, maybe this walk to the back, maybe you ain't as fine naked as you thought you were.
All right, Steve,
that
we got to get out of here. Email us or Instagram.
You naked,
us
but
thoughts.
You look like you in your second trimester. That could be throwing it off too, though.
Email us or Instagram us your thoughts on today's strawberry letter.
I've been
my
trying
girl
to
Shirley.
Flatten my stomach for 10 years. I don't know what the hell going on.
Today's crazy comedy segment in about 10 minutes at 41 after the hour.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Annoying things that grown people do while you're driving. So
when you are driving.
So these people are in the car with
they're
you.
They're riding Jay. With you.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, this the passenger. Okay.
The passenger. Mm. Or the back seat or kids. Or just mm-hmm. you're the driver, so you got to focus.
Yeah.
On the road.
Yeah.
And it's just little stuff that gets on, just little things.
Oh, man.
Like.
Just that little.
Like what?
Steve, like you driving, right? I can't stand people to point to stuff for me to look at.
Yeah.
Damn it, I'm driving.
Yeah. Ooh, look at that.
Ooh, look. Look.
You missed
how?
It. You missed it.
Oh, you, they got tomatoes on sale. Look.
Yeah, Jay.
That's real talk. He got tomatoes on sale.
Good one.
I'm going to see that sign and I'm driving. Ain't nowhere in the world. Man, I can't stand for people to sing in my car. That gets on my nerve. Because first of all, you don't know the words to the song.
Oh, my God.
I can't stand. And you don't sound nothing like.
Nothing like the song.
The song.
Are you evil? Will you just change the station when they're singing?
I'll put it on talk.
Oh, talk radio?
I don't care what they talk about. We start listening to talk the minute you open your mouth. And, ladies and gentlemen, we are here today.
I don't like when we going cross town to my auntie house. I done been there 1,000 times. But my wife want to give me directions, though, on how to get
go
there.
This way. Go this way.
You take, take 45 and then take 59. If you take 59, we'll get there a little quicker. But you,
we've been you there several times. I know where I'm going.
I just don't like directions. Come on, Steve. I know you
Come
got
on.
One.
I can't stand when people drive in their damn car looking over at an accident that they ain't in. And about to get us in one over here.
Yeah.
I can't stand that, man. What you looking
like
over
that.
There for?
I don't like
I can't
that.
Stand. You know what else I can't stand, Steve? That window is not to be played with, okay?
That up and down? Yeah.
That's to the kids.
Yeah.
Or women with hot flashes.
Yeah. I can't stand that. Yeah, that's why they got window locked.
That's why they got locked. Yeah.
You got to lock the window.
Take the child lock off. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it.
I don't care how grown you is. I'm not going to do it. You know, I can't stand. Right as I get my car washed and I come pick you up and take you somewhere,
If you eat in my car and drop anything.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what it is when you driving. You always notice somebody dropping something.
Yeah. In
your
car.
You got chips. I see the chip fall down your shirt to the seat to my floor. But you keep eating like it ain't down there.
Okay. I hate to go there.
Come on now. I'm driving
in my car. Uh-huh. I look out the little, just look out the little peripheral of my right side.
Mm-hmm.
Are you picking your nose? Wait a minute. Where are you dusting that
where
off
you
to?
Put that?
Off your no, fingers, yeah. man. Where's no. that going? Ew. That's on my flow mat now, brother.
That is gross.
But y'all done seen it. You done seen it.
Yeah. Come on, Steve.
I used to hate getting in somebody's car and don't nothing work. We ain't got no radio. We ain't got no air. We just sitting up in here hot, in silence, and it's starting to smoke.
Hot,
you remember
hot,
it from a long
heat.
Time while?
Man, boy, you just hate that.
Man. I love here's it. One. You can have gum in your mouth.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear you click it.
Oh yeah. That's me.
I don't want to hear you pop it.
Oh yeah.
I don't want to see you making bubbles out of it. Yeah. Mm. Damn it, just chew it, okay?
Yeah.
Just chew it. That's it. That's why they call it chewing gum.
You all have got issues.
You know what? I'm got this problem right now. I want to drive like Uncle Steve. But I don't have one, but right now, stay out my damn glove box.
Why for you?
Why is you why, in why? There? What the hell made you click that two buttons and pull it down? What you in there for?
What are you looking for?
Like you got something in here.
When did you put something in there?
It's like when you go to someone's house and they go to their medicine cabinet in the bathroom.
Stay out the damn glove box.
Don't ask me to use my car. Please, man. You don't want your feelings hurt. You don't know how I really feel about you. Don't ask me to use my damn car for nothing.
For nothing.
Yeah. Go to work.
Yeah.
Go to store.
Yeah. He going to find out where you really stand.
And the phrase, well, it's just sitting there. That's why it's just sitting there.
Yeah.
My car.
Because it's my car.
And I ain't
right.
Well, it's just sitting there. So?
Yeah.
So what?
Yeah.
Here's one I hate. I'm backing out. Now, in order to back out, you got to look back. Why am I looking at you looking back at me backing out? It don't take two of us to back out.
I'm looking.
Close it up.
I'll tell you one thing I can't say. Don't diagnose my car. How you know what's wrong with my car? Sally, you got a bad tie. How you know? You just got in.
Come on, Steve, close
this
it up.
This one last one. This got something to do with using my car. This is what a friend did to me one time. Called a cab to my house to ask me to use my car. You should have took this cab the way your ass wanted to go.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Jay, come on now. What is this little...
We all experience these little things, little nuances that you panic for like just a little bit. You're not really. For instance.
Okay, yeah.
You order a pizza. Mm-hmm. Pizza's on the way. Pizza man gets there. Okay. You can't find your money. Oh, my God.
But you keep telling him to hold on.
Yeah, you got
to.
Hold on, dude. I got money, man.
Small panic.
You already told him cash, so you didn't say charge. You said, I'm going to pay cash. Uh-huh. He's standing out there thinking you stupid, right?
Yeah.
You already said, you know, just stuff like this. Little time you panic. Yeah.
Like, for instance, like when it's daytime and you didn't fell asleep with the night, you didn't woke up, started getting dressed to go to work.
Oh, my God. Everybody on the shift has
done that. Everybody has done
that. First started working here. Mm-hmm. I woke up. It was night, 6:41 p.m. Mm-hmm.
I was in traffic.
Oh my God! I said, Uncle Steve gonna fire me day two.
I'm like, why is nobody on the highway? Cause it's Saturday, fool.
You didn't know. when you at work reach for a bottle of water that you thought was yours and it wasn't and realize it's the nasty person that working
on God,
dog, I just drunk out this damn bottle. God, dog.
It's time to panic.
Yeah.
Any Clorox in the bottle.
Yeah. That's not a little panic. That's a lot of panic.
I'm finna gargle with it, Carla.
And they standing there looking at you.
What's wrong with me?
Come on, Steve, what you got?
You remember when you was little, you used to be playing in the flow and you was doing something wrong and you turn around and your mama was standing
there? Yes, blow it.
You just putting on your best show.
You
just playing your behind off. And you, for me, I turn around and see that fat leg. Oh, Lord, I knew Andy Brown was standing there. Man. Oh, my God. Okay. Little times you panic. Uh-huh. These are little times you have little nervous breakdowns. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. You go to the doctor, right? Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. You got your clothes on. He's standing behind you, and he's looking at your chart, and you hear him go, What the hell you mean,
Yeah, that's a mini breakdown.
That's a mini.
Yeah.
What the hell you mean,
You tell me, I'm in
here. That's up to me, man.
Man.
Something about to fall off.
Yeah. I'll tell you one that got my entire family. I don't know if this happened for y'all, but on holidays, that one kid that nobody wanted to have that steal. We have been praying over Thanksgiving dinner. What was that? Anybody seen Johnny?
And you can't find him?
Because you can't find him? Everybody get nervous because something missing. Yeah. He just stole somebody's purse, wallet, keys. Where's Johnny? Forget the prayer.
Yeah.
That started off. First of all, we're so thankful to be here today on this Thanksgiving. Oh, where's Johnny? Where's Jeff?
Come on, Jeff.
You ever be driving your car, come over the hill, you rolling a little bit too fast, police sitting there, and all of a sudden they lights come on, God dog.
Yes. Yes.
You think they after you and they
You
ain't?
Think they after you and then they pass by you?
Oh, Lord.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Oh God. Oh, Jesus. Oh, I need to slow down.
I haven't had that. Every black man experienced that.
Father, yeah. God.
Getting your story together before they pull you
Yeah, you trying to get it together.
See, that's interesting because the one I had was similar to that. But you ever been pulled over by the police and they ask you for your driver's license?
Mm-hmm.
And they go back to the car, then they come back and they say, step out the car, please.
Whoa.
Right there.
Yeah. Whoa.
Oh, this ain't going to go good.
Man, that step out the car. Your
that step out the car, man. Yes. Once you have to get out the car, like you start thinking about what does he know that I did a long time ago. Let me see. You go to the beauty shop, right? Ladies, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
You go to the beauty shop to get your hair done, and she knows automatically that you've been going someplace else to get your hair done.
Oh,
she
yeah.
knows right away.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
She knows right away.
Who been in your head?
Yeah.
Who been doing your
head? She knows her work. Yep.
She knows her work. Yeah.
Shout out to my girl, Tracy.
Hey,
Tracy.
Donna.
Love you, Tracy.
This is not my work. What you talking about?
Even better yet, one of that gets me nervous, though, my little panic moment. When I'm on the highway doing 60, and the gas light come on, but you ain't nowhere near gas.
Oh, my God, that is so scary,
Lord, man. I'm just driving like I got a full tank of gas. It is a rule of thumb that when the gas light come on, you have to break it down under 20.
And don't we all hate buying gas? Y'all hate pumping gas, man. Yeah.
Such an idiot.
Oh, hold on. Well, we do.
I do.
I'm glad I'm married now.
I know I'm Steve.
Here's a little panic for you.
Steve had no idea.
Excuse me.
He ain't pump gas.
No, he ain't pump gas.
So he's saying pump gas. He got quiet.
He has no idea.
Now, some of these panics may not apply to Steve.
Okay? You ever been at a woman's house and her husband come home? That's a little panic, you know. That's wow. Now you under the bed 3 hours later, and you gonna wait on him to leave.
Man. Well, that's
for you. Get your nephew.
Yeah.
Get your nephew.
Okay,
come on.
You close it up.
You walk in the house, and your wife say, "I got something I want you to see." If she got, if she ain't got it in her hand and laughing, you don't know it what this good. Is.
Coming up, it's more of the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, guys, it is time for Comedy Roulette. Jay, explain
it. It's so simple. We've done this over and over and over. Just pick 5 subjects. Put them on a wheel. Spun the wheel. Where it stopped, we will do the damn thing.
All right, here we go.
Go ahead and do it.
You ready?
All right,
here we go. Number one, all of a sudden, everything is too loud. Just everything is too loud. Number two.
Been there.
My favorite snack is.
Like that one, like that one.
Number three, that is not his wife.
Whoa.
We're not doing that. We're not doing that. Okay. I'm just telling you, we're not doing that.
Put your foot down, Tommy.
I mean that. That better not be
the wheel better not stop on that one.
All right. Number four. Some people just will wear anything.
No, yeah, they will. They definitely will. Anything.
Okay, here we go. You know, they've been locked up a long time when they ask questions like.
Oh, yes. Yeah, spun the wheel. Spun the wheel, spun it.
Better not be number 3.
Uh-oh. Wait. Oh.
That's a good one right
okay,
there.
Okay, stopped on number 5. You know they've been locked up a long time when they ask questions like.
When TV been staying on after 12 o'clock? when they start doing that?
Oh, man, you've been locked up a long time. When you hear a question like, so where mama live now?
Mama? My mama?
You don't know where mama live? When mama move?
You've been locked up a long time when they looking at you like, y'all can't cut y'all chicken with a spoon. Why y'all don't know how to do this?
Come on, Steve.
You've been locked up a long time when you ask questions like, when do they turn the emails on?
You've been locked up a long time.
Let me tell you how you know you've been locked up a long time. How come y'all don't want me to make macaroni with just an iron? I can show you how to do it.
Really?
Yeah. So, you know you've been locked up a long time when they ask questions like, so you can get clothes and groceries in this stuff?
Walmart.
So I can get fruits and a shirt
in one
store.
Genius, ain't it?
You know they've been locked up a long time when you. Who flushed the toilet and ran all my liquor out of there? Who did that? Who did that, man? That was good liquor down there, man.
Come on, Steve.
You know, you've been locked up a long time when you go out on a date and all you want to order is Roman noodles.
Fancy restaurant.
You know you've been locked up a long time when you say stuff like, so y'all gonna leave the lights on all night. Yeah. All night. Yeah. These ain't gonna go off.
You know you've been locked up a long time.
Uh-huh.
When they get pulled over, they call you say, so the police car's black and white now. They was blue at first.
We're playing comedy roulette, people.
You know you've been locked up a long time when they start whispering, meet me in the yard at 2. Meet me in the yard at 2 o'clock.
All right, Steve.
You know you've been locked up a long time when you come outside on your first day back and you got your platforms on.
You out there.
Do not understand what the hell everybody laughing at.
Coming up, it's more of the Steve Harvey Morning Show at 33 after the hour.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
When you know it's time to go back to church.
It's time to go back to church.
Yeah.
You know when it's time to go back to church.
Okay.
When you know it is time to take your butt back
to church.
Somebody need to lay hands on me right now.
Jesus!
Jesus!
Jesus, how did I get here? When you wake up and you with somebody and you don't know their name, it is time to go back to church. Who are you?
Talk about backsliding. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
How long we been laying?
Why I got handcuffs on? You got one, Junior?
Yeah, you know it's time to go back to church when you wake up and there's bite marks all over your body. Mm. You can't explain none of them. Who? I'm doing too much.
You know it's time to go back to church.
You know it's time to go back to church, man.
When you wake up and you got her thong on. God. No, what the hell we were
doing? Why do I have this song? And it's backwards. You got the front part in the back. And the back part in the front.
That's a crazy visual.
Jesus help me.
Yeah, that's a crazy visual right there.
You got one.
It's time for you to go back to church when you're starting to look at your boy's grandmama and starting to feel some kind of way.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
You need to go pray. It's time to go back to
Miss
church.
Miss Gladys.
Yeah. Ooh, Miss Inez, girl. You done something to me. Wow. I never felt this way like before. You know it's time to go back to church when you see spank marks on your behind and you don't know how they got there.
You can't tell.
Yeah.
You can't tell. It's time to go back to church.
Excuse me, did you spank me?
No, and it's a man hand.
That's pretty rough there, Jack.
That's pretty rough.
That's pretty rough.
What you got, dude?
I'll tell you, it's another way you know it's time to go to church. This actually happened to me. I went the next day. When your lights, water, and gas get turned off on the same day, you can't do nothing.
Yeah, it's time to go back to church.
You know it's time to go back when you wake up and your whole chest is pierced.
Ouch.
Yeah. I get piercings on me. Oh, I need the Lord.
It is time to go back to church.
It's time for you to go back to church. You've been arguing with this fine girl for an hour and a half. Trying to convince her that ain't no way y'all can be cuz.
That's the argument.
It's time to go. We're not really cousins, man. Come on.
How you figure that?
We about down to the fifth. Yeah. Okay. All right, it's time to go back to church. You know, it's time to go back to church when you wake up with a tattoo that says Veronica, and you don't know nobody named Veronica. It's time to go back to church.
It's time to go back to church when you start stalking anybody on Little Women of LA. I'm talking about them everywhere they at.
Tanya.
Hey. Tanya is fine, though. She is
fine. Hey, I'm over there looking for
Tanya is fine.
All right, when we come back, it is time for closing remarks.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Hey, it's your man, Steve Harvey. Do you think you're smarter than my nephew, Tommy? You could qualify for, listen to this, $1 million. Go to Steve Harvey FM and get the details on how you can play smarter than nephew, Tommy. Here's the deal. If you're smarter than nephew, Tommy, you win $100 gift cards. And you have an opportunity to open the safe and win $1 million. If Tommy wins, you will win a $25 gift card. Just go to Steve Harvey FM for details. The winning starts this Tuesday at 7:20 a.m., 6:20 a.m.
Steve, we're here at the last break of the day. Just one more thing, your closing remarks. What do you have for us today to take us into the weekend, Steve?
You know, look, man, my haters, there's nothing I can do about them. But it's also okay to have haters because, I mean, you need them. It justifies your efforts and your work. If you're not doing anything, you don't have to worry about haters. But the moment you try to accomplish something, the moment you try to be more than them, the moment you decide that you're going to come up, the moment you make the decision that you're going to be better than you were before, you can prepare yourself for the haters. Because their haters work for an evil force. You know, look, if you're not doing good, you're doing bad. If you're not doing right, you're doing evil. If you're not being positive, you're being negative.
The devil is busy, man. The devil hears your prayers to God. He knows what God is capable of doing for you. And so the devil's job is to intercept and interrupt all of that. He wants to intercept and interrupt all the blessings that God has for you. So he has people that's at work for him all the time. The stunning thing about it is these people that work for the devil all the time, his imps, they busy, man. They busy. I had a guy told me, I asked a guy one time, I said, man, why are you always hating? He said, man, that's what I do. I'm a hater. He said, man, but I'm going to get a huge following, Steve, because I hate. Because I had approached the dude about something he had said about me one time. Not that I really cared. I just asked him why he did it. He said, Steve, you cool, man, but you a draw. You draw people to my site. So when I mention you, I get more followers. I'm going to turn that into money. So he has made a conscious decision to be a paid hater. The problem that haters don't understand is that you may become a paid hater, but it also comes with a cost to you. It's a simple principle in the Bible. You remember when you were a little kid and you used to go to Sunday school and you heard the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you? That is applicable to the day you leave this world. I don't care what business you get into or anything like that. It applies all the time. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So if you're going to be in the hate business, you must be prepared to be hated on. And you must be prepared to suffer the consequences of a negative behavior. It's amazing, man. I'm telling you all. Stop stopping your climb. Stop stopping your journey to address all of these haters. Because they are sent as a worker. They are an imp to try to intercept and impede and block blessings and things that God has for you. Keep moving. Somebody, one of the bishops sent me a letter one time, and it simply says, Steve, stay on the wall. Stay on the wall. And I went, wow, man, what was it? So it made sense to me, but I called him to ask him. He said, hey, man, stay on the wall. Don't climb down off the wall where God has taken all this time to place you to get back down on the ground to deal with some people that ain't even up on the wall. I said, man, but they throwing rocks at me. He said, throwing rocks at you. Has any of them knocked you off the wall? I said, no. I said, he said, now some of them hit you in the back, hit you upside the head with them rocks. But he said, but don't you keep going up the wall? He said, why would you stop and come down off the wall, Steve? So I'm saying to everybody out there listening, you got to stay on the wall. Wherever you are, don't stop your ascent to address these haters. It's okay. You're going to be fine. They are hating for a reason. They hate you because you are something that they are not capable of being, and they wish they was, and now since you are and they ain't, here come the hate. You know the best way to deal with hate? Love. Love is the only thing that conquers hate. You cannot conquer hate with more hate. Martin Luther King knew that as well as anybody. Gandhi understood that as well as anybody. You cannot conquer hate with more hate. The only way to conquer hate is with love. It works, man. The problem with hate is so much louder than love. But here's the joy of it, though. Love is stronger than hate. Hate dwindles and withers away. Love just love. Love just lasts. I tell you what, here's another example. If you're in darkness, complete and total darkness, and you're tired of the darkness, to get out of darkness, you don't go to more darkness. You need light. Only light can get you out of darkness. Only love can bring you out of hatred. It's the only way it works. Whatever they're doing to you that's on a negative, you have to do differently to them on a positive. Now, you're not going to like that because it's going to seem like the soft approach, but it's the only thing that works. You just got to keep loving them when they keep hating you. And that's hard to do. I know it is. For me, it's hard to do. But I just keep on. When I see him, I just go, hey, look, man, boom, 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 boom. No hard feelings. And keep going. You want to get out of darkness? You need light. You want to get out of hatred? You need love. That's it.
All right. I love that.
Great job.
Y'all have a good weekend.
For all Steve Harvey contests, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Participants must be legal U.S. residents at least 18 years old unless otherwise stated. For complete contest rules, visit SteveHarveyFM.com.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.